Appreciate so much Pastor Rita and Sean leading us in worship today, and they'll be doing some more of our music here later in the worship service. Today we are continuing our preaching series celebrating our brethren values. I appreciate very much Pastor Marietta filling in last Sunday for me as I was returning from the annual conference and talking about service. And today we're talking about doing ministry together. If you were in Sunday school this morning, the Sunday school lesson really dovetails well the message here today. From the inception of the Church of the Brethren over 300 years ago, shared ministry has been a distinctive of who we are as brethren. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. That phrase comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, which calls us to be mediators together of God's love and truth to one another. We need each other if we are going to discover and to carry out God's will. If you recall from the New Testament, Jesus was very critical of the religious leaders of the day. And he called them out on many occasions. He was troubled by their elaborate dress and by their insistence on honor and privilege. And they always wanted for them the best seats in the synagogues and to be greeted and recognized in the marketplace. And they insisted on being called rabbi. And Jesus' followers, though, he said, it's going to be different for you. You're not going to be like the religious leaders you're aware of. Jesus said to them, you're not to be called rabbi because you have one teacher and you are all brethren. In fact, he says, call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. And Jesus said to his disciples repeatedly, who is going to be the greatest among you must be a servant of all. Whoever wants to be exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus was turning things upside down. He was saying, the way you have seen people serving the religious leaders of the day isn't going to be the way you will be serving as a leader in the church. And of course, Jesus didn't leave much explanation for us of how we were to be serving in the church. In fact, he leaves that more up to Paul, because Paul talks a lot about how we use our gifts in the church and how each of us has a role to play in the church. And what's important is that the work of the church, the doing ministry together, using our gifts, is how we continue to grow together. It's how you and I become more and more like Jesus. So friends, every gift is important. Every role is important. Some of us may be pastors or teachers or deacons, but some serve in other ways, and we are all involved in the work of ministry. We are all ministers. Because you know the word minister? You know what it means? It means servant. That's what it means. So we are all in ministry together. So let's look at this brethren value through Scripture, and in particular, Paul's teaching from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16, for a message entitled, Doing Ministry Together. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with the 11th verse, it was He, that is Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. In this passage, Paul identifies various spiritual gifts that are essential for the church to grow. And Paul seems to be suggesting that no one person has all these gifts. No one person has all these gifts. And each gift is important. So the first point we want to make this morning is simply this. The church is designed by God to utilize various gifts. The church is designed by God to utilize various gifts. And you have seen folks here this morning already using their gifts. Pastor Rita and Sean using their gifts of music. And Sunday school teachers this morning using their gifts of teaching. Notice what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying it is Jesus who gave these gifts. Some to be apostles, some to be pastors and teachers, evangelists, some to be prophets and so forth. What does Paul mean that Jesus gave these gifts? Simply that each of these gifts is needed. It is vital for God's church to grow and to thrive. Ask yourself this question, does the church need apostles? You know, we don't use that word very much today. But the gifts of an apostle are still needed. Apostles are innovators. Apostles are those who have the divine ability to oversee and develop new ways of doing ministry. We need apostles. We need them. They're vital to the church. Apostles compel people to reach out to new and unfamiliar groups and to help bring people who are not being ministered to be cared for and ministered to and witnessed to with the love of Jesus Christ. You know, I believe there are two people here who have served as your pastor who I think were very much apostles. And the one was Rufus Bucher. Rufus, who served as pastor here for, was about 50 years, something like that. That he was pastor. In the infancy of the church, when the church was just being formed, Rufus Bucher came among you, and he served really as an apostle. Because so much of the foundation of this church can be traced back to Rufus Bucher and his ministry among us. But there was a second pastor who I think was more of an apostle, and that was Earl Ziegler. Earl was served here in the 70s and early 80s, and the growth that happened when Mechanic Grove was here was because, I think, of his apostolic gifts. He had apostolic gifts. New people were being reached. Refugees were being helped. A new church a dozen miles away was started because of the apostolic gifts of Earl Ziegler. But Paul says Jesus calls some to be prophets as well. Prophets are those people who seem to have an ear towards God, who be able to hear something from God that others of us perhaps are not hearing. Sometimes it's a pastor, but sometimes it's a lay person as well. And it's that lay person that when they speak, the congregation listens and really values their input. That's a prophetic gift. And then Jesus called some to be evangelists, those whose heart is always broken for lost people, and may we be blessed with more of them. And some to be pastors and teachers. And Mechanic Grove has a long history of some tremendous pastors and teachers who have served here over the 127 years of history. And friends, think for a moment where Mechanic Grove would be today without that rich history of pastoral teaching and preaching and leadership given here. Mechanic Grove. The point is that the church needs all these gifts, and as your pastor, I can tell you I only have one or maybe two of them. Okay? I don't have all these gifts, but these gifts are available among us, and we need to tap into them. In 2001, I was at Asbury Seminary, and I was doing doctoral studies, and I was convinced that God was calling me to return to Lancaster County when I was done with my studies and to start a new church. It was going to be in Willow Street, and I even had the name and who would be a part of my core team already in mind. And when I called the church planning director for the Churches of God, all I got was, sounds interesting. And he said to me, well, why don't you just pray about that some more while you're in school? And my church planning dream never went any further. Why? Because God didn't call me to be a church planner. He didn't give me those gifts, those apostolic gifts, those strong evangelism gifts to be a church planter. I'm much more of a pastoral care person and a teacher than I am apostolic gifts. But here's what's interesting. 7 years after that phone call to the church planning director for the Churches of God, I stood before 400-plus pastors and delegates of the Eastern Regional Conference Churches of God as their new executive director. And I said, let us resolve to embrace a vision of 2020. That by the year 2020, we will have started 20 new, healthy, thriving congregations. And I left my position at the end of 2017. We had started well over 20 churches. And we had 17 that were viable congregations. God never called me to be a church planter. But He did put me in a place where I could encourage or help provide leadership to a church planting movement. And the Churches of God saw about 20 new churches during my time in service to them. Jesus is giving these gifts to the church for one reason, to prepare God's people for works of service that the body may be built up. And that is our second point today. We do ministry together. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service and to build up the body of Christ. Doing ministry together is not as much a brethren value as it is a biblical value. It is firmly rooted in Scripture that we need each other and that we build each other up as we do ministry together. There are no first and second class citizens in the kingdom of God. We are all citizens together. And for far too long, and particularly in other denominations, there is a sharp distinction between clergy and laity. But not so much in the Church of the Brethren. Not so much in this family of believers. Why? Because we do ministry together. We believe we are all called into ministry. We work together to use our gifts to prepare one another to serve and become a greater part of the body of Christ. It's interesting that at the early brethren, places of worship were called meeting houses. Isn't that interesting? They called them meeting houses because the importance of family and community was so central to the brother. There was a reluctance to copy the elaborate cathedrals and costly churches of their day. And in fact, in the early places of worship for the Church of the Brethren, you would not see four or five steps. The pastor was at the same level as the congregation. Symbolic of the importance of all of us being in ministry, that no one is elevated beyond another. Many brethren pastors from the early days did not like the term reverend, which means worthy of respect and worship. They preferred the term pastor, and I would amen that too. I don't like the term reverend. Only God should be revered. And brethren from our inception over 300 years ago have stressed the priesthood of all believers, that every member is a minister. All of us are in ministry. And here's what's important about what Paul's saying here, is that he's encouraging the church that everybody's to be engaged in ministry, that we do ministry together, but there's an important reason for that. A very important reason. And that's because Paul knew how vulnerable the early church was. It struggled to develop. Spiritual maturity was lacking. Read the book of 1 Corinthians. Look at all the problems the early church had. Why? Because there was a lack of spiritual maturity. The biggest problem they were facing was false teaching, because false teachers found it easy to make their way into the church and lead people astray. And the lack of spiritual maturity made the church so vulnerable to the false teachers. And so Paul is saying, look, we need each other. We need to grow together. We need to be doing ministry together so that we can keep the false teaching from infiltrating the church. The way to prevent false teaching in the church was to raise the level of spiritual maturity. Verse 14, he says that the reason all these gifts are needed is to use to help the church to grow spiritually and mature. And here's the point we want to make. Doing ministry together helps keep us accountable to the Word of God. That's what's important. When we are in ministry and serving together, it helps keep us accountable to what God's Word says. Spiritual maturity in church keeps us from being led astray by false teaching. And that was a huge problem in the early church. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Listen to these words. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. they will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Friends, listen to those words. Don't let 2,000 years of church history think that we don't have false teaching today. We do. There are still false teachers out there. And that's why spiritual maturity is so important, because it helps keep provides protection of keeping false teaching from the church. And when false teaching is left unchecked, it leads people astray. And lost people remain lost, the church is divided, and Satan wins the day. That's what happens when we allow false teaching into the church. And don't think it's any less of a problem today than it was 2 years ago, or 2,000 years ago. Finally, Paul adds in verse 15 that we are to speak the truth in love until we all grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. What is Paul saying? Simply this: we must continue to speak the truth in love until we all become like Jesus. Let's continue to speak the truth in love until we all become mature and much more like Jesus. Let's face it, friends, we do not do a good job of speaking the truth in love, but we have a responsibility to do that. Friends, I want people around me who are going to speak the truth in love. I would hope that if you saw something in me that wasn't Christ-like, or if I was failing in some way, I hope you would have enough love for me that you would say, "Pastor Kevin, I think you're failing in this, or I think you're wrong in this." I need to speak the truth in love, and I need to be humble enough to receive that. I need to be open enough to say, "You know what? You may have a point there." That is something I need to take into account. So pray that God would help you see ways that you can help others to grow in Christ, to grow in greater maturity, but also to be open as well. If someone would say to you, "Hey, I see this in you as a possible growing edge." Doing ministry together is foundational to who we are as brethren. The Church of Brethren is organized to make the use of the best thinking and contributions of all its members. In the Church of the Brethren, the highest decision-making body is the annual conference. That's where I, along with Lars and Peggy Rasmussen, were here just last week, first week of July. We were out with over 1,400 people, 400-plus delegates in Grand Rapids, Michigan, making decisions, coming together, and hearing from everyone. We believe that each one has a point or a voice and an opportunity to share, to speak into what is happening in the life of the church. And so that is so important to who we are, that we are in ministry together. And you know what? It's here at Mechanic Grove as well. I was so surprised 2 years ago when I learned that the church board had over 30-plus people on it. I couldn't believe that. I'd never been in a church that had that size of a church board. It was unheard of. But it's so important to who we are because it shows you the voice of everyone. I love going to a board meeting where I'm just one voice of another 30 people that are going to be there. That everyone's not looking to me for what's he going to say, what's the decision he's going to make. We make this decision together. We believe that God's Spirit brings us together and speaks to us as we gather as the board to make the best decision for the life of the church. For over 25 years, it has worked here, and I'm sure that Paul would be pleased, and even more so our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. Doing ministry together is a cherished value in a Church of the Brethren. It has strong scriptural support, and what's important is it enables you and I, each of us, to grow together in Jesus, who is the head. You know, we often say that's our church, and I try to refrain from using that phrase, our church, because it's really His church. It's His church. I don't want to be possessive in that way. Jesus is the one who bought the church. He's the one that paid the price. It's His church. We are privileged to be a part of His church. So I need you to help me grow spiritually, and I will use my gifts to help you grow spiritually as well. We need each other. We are in this together. Let us, as Paul continues, to continue to grow and build ourselves up to do this great work together. Let me close with this. Have you ever watched a pit crew in action at an auto race? In less time than it takes for most of us to put our seatbelt on and adjust the mirror, the crew has changed four tires, filled the gas tank, washed the windshield, and given the driver a drink, and made final adjustments to the car. It happens real fast, real fast. It happens so quickly and efficiently because each crew member knows their job. Each crew member knows exactly what they are to do. Speaking at a chapel service before the race, Chaplain Max Helton said to the drivers and their crews, "Imagine all the people it takes to put on a race. What would happen if everyone wanted to drive? It'd be chaos." It's the same with the crew. If everyone wanted to change tires and no one wanted to fill the gas tank, the car wouldn't have a very long ride. Likewise, in the body of Christ, we've all been equipped with different skills to do different tasks. We all can't be pastors or preachers or teachers. Some of us have to change tires. Some of us have to wash the windshield. But each job is just as important as the other. For the body of Christ to fulfill its purpose, we need each other and to consecrate on our part in doing ministry together. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Doing ministry together is more than a brethren value. It is a biblical truth that we strive to live out every day here at McKenna Grove. I want you to hear our passage again this morning, this time from The Message, which is a modern paraphrase from Eugene Peterson. Listen to how he translates Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. "He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor-teacher to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. No prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are easy prey for predators. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love." May we indeed grow up healthy in God and robust in love as we do ministry together. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, it is rather appropriate today that we celebrate the consecration of Rachel Johnson for Brethren Volunteer Service. On a Sunday where we're celebrating the brethren value of doing ministry together. Thank you for your word to us today. Thank you for the gifting that you have given to this body of believers. And may we continue to use whatever gifts you have given us to serve one another, to do ministry together, so that we all become spiritually mature, become more and more like Jesus. Thank you for your word to us today. Thank you for the challenge. And may it resonate in our hearts and our minds as we serve you and one another this week. In Jesus' name, amen.